ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
तान् विद्धि नत्वहं तेषु ते मयि त्रिभिर्गुणमयैर्भावैः योभिः सर्वमिदं जगत् मोहितं नाभिजानाति मामेद्यः परमव्ययम्।
So till now, Krishna has been speaking about many things. All these different things which are present in this material world. And he says the whole world is covered by these three modes of material nature: Rajaguna, Tamaguna and Sattvaguna. Everything in this world, wherever you turn around, like you see colors, red color is a mode of passion, black color is a mode of ignorance, yellow color is a mode of goodness. Now one may ask, how can color be in some mode? The colors are called to be in a particular mode depending on what kind of expression or feeling it evokes in your heart by seeing and looking at them. Similarly, there is food in modes. There is food in Rajaguna. Like if you see people eating the spicy things or things which are very hot, full of chili, this vada pav which they sell, you know, seen in this, how do you call that, standard place, no? Near Karjat. Karjat when you go. That is a mode of passion. Merit is a mode of goodness. Like that. So in a mode of ignorance means that food is stale. It is kept for several days. Some people are very fond of eating such food. Just kept for a few days. Stale and putrid. Similarly, these three modes, passion, goodness and ignorance, have distinct characteristics also. Like when some person is in mode of goodness, he is very mild. Very pleasing in behavior, his mind is controlled, senses are controlled, and he can be austere, he is very religious. On the other hand, when somebody is in mode of passion, he is heroic, and he has determination, there are things given, shuryam, chauryam, tejo, dhritir, dakshyam, yuddhe, chari, palayanam, like that Krishna says many qualities. Shauryam, shauryam means shurata, tejo, tejo means power, dhritir, determination, dakshyam, expertise. And Yuddhe Chapi Palayanam, he doesn't run away from the battlefield. He will show his chest in the battlefield. And then he says, Anam Ishara Bhavascha, leadership. And then that quality he is talking about Kshatriya, who is in the mode of passion. Brahmana is in the mode of goodness. Similarly, Vaishya is a mixed mode of passion and ignorance. He is a mixed mode. And Shudra is in the mode of ignorance. So these qualities are all there in the world. People have certain traits and qualities. And these are all there right from our birth. At the point of conception of a child, the qualities which he is going to possess are decided by the karmana daiva netrena. Now all of us assembled here, we all belong to this world, we all have come to this world, but we all have taken different roles and goals in life. Of course now we all have taken a common goal, Krishna consciousness as the goal. But then before coming to Krishna consciousness, we all have different goals. And how do we have these roles and goals? It depends on our inclination for a particular activity and our general tendency. That's what Krishna says, Chaturvarnya Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasya. Guna and Karma by your quality and by your activity. Only foolish people argue, what is this caste system? Why are the categories? Somebody is Brahmana, somebody is Shudra. make everyone equal. But you will find that in this world, everyone is belonging to one of these four tendencies. Either Brahmana tendency or a Shudra tendency or Kshatriya tendency. We all have a particular inclination by which we want to do certain type of work. Some type of work is more pleasing to our hearts than other type of work. So it is all coming according to one's nature at the time of birth. So this is called as the three gunas. So the whole world is arrayed with objects which are in the three modes of material nature, offered by the illusory energy, Maya. She has offered so many things. So it depends on who is the perceiver. Depending on that, the object will appear to him as enjoyable or not. For example, I'll tell you, like if there is a woman who is dressed in a very obscene way, like we see in the movies. The man in Rajaguna, he will find it very enjoyable. He will think, oh, this is the most beautiful heroine I have ever seen in my life. The man in goodness will consider her to be like a Rakshasi. Understand? Like when Lord Ramchandra saw Shurpanaka, he never got attracted. And she, of course, dressed up in a very attractive way and came in front of him. He never got attracted. There's a person in goodness can only see everyone else as a mother. But a person in passion may consider somebody to be an enjoyable object. That is why you will see these people, according to their own mode, the way they speak, the way they dress, the way they eat, the way they live, everything is according to modes. Just go to slums and see how people live. They live in tin huts and they eat stale food that's kept for several days. And see the way they cook. Horrible it is. They put everything down, there is no cleanliness. Nashaucham, napichacharo, asatyam teshu vidyate. It's very, very unclean. In mode of ignorance, one cannot understand what is cleanliness. They wear also dress the same dress every time. They sleep with the same dress in the night and it is all stinking with all the saliva from the mouth. And they wear the same dress tomorrow. They don't wear fresh dress after taking bath in the morning. Similarly, a person in passion also. So everyone has certain qualities. Like person in mode of ignorance means he is very lazy, is attracted to intoxication and unclean habits, things like that. Breaking all the four regulative principles. Similarly, a person in the mode of passion is attracted by honor and prestige and status, is attracted to sex life. Such a person is extremely bodily conscious, all the time bodily conscious. And a person in mode of goodness, he is relatively happier than the other two people in passion and ignorance. Because a person in goodness has wisdom above the common populace. So he may derive interest in poems or some intellectual discussion. He may derive interest in controlling his mind and senses, in worshipping God, and leading a peaceful life, not harming others. So this is more of goodness. So everyone in this world is belonging to some mode or the other, one of these three modes. Nobody can escape. Nobody can say, okay, now I understood these three modes, so now I will not be in any of these modes. You can't say. You'll be forced to act. Subhavastha pravartate. That is, everyone is forced to act according to his mode. So there is only one thing that is within our reach. Doubtile our mode in Krishna's service. So somebody has a desire for preaching, so he can preach. Somebody has a desire for working a lot and earning and giving money to Krishna, then they can give like that. And somebody has a desire to clean, keep the place spick and span, then one can clean. So depending on one's propensities, the spiritual master engages everyone in different services, so that by doubtingly it in Krishna's service, ultimately one transcends the three modes. When these three modes, action in the three modes, if they are connected to Krishna, then one becomes, as Krishna says, Nirgandho Nitya Sattvastho Niryoga Kshema Atmavan Traigunya Vishaya Veda is Traigunya Vavarjuna. Go above these three modes, Madhya Rajan Krishna said. So there is only one way to transcend the three modes, that is to doubtile all your propensities in Krishna's service. By which you can transcend the modes. So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, this categorization is done based on one's guna and karma, quality and tendency for doing activity. But then when one becomes a Vaishnava, the Vaishnava surpasses all the four classes. Pranam punat sakulam natubodhi manaha. Prahlad Maharaj said that if a person becomes a Vaishnava, he can purify himself and purify his whole family of relatives and friends. Because he even goes beyond the stage of a Brahmana, a Vaishnava devotee. So that is the way to transcend the three modes. So why should we not be in the three modes? Because as long as we are in the three modes, we will be born again and again into this world. Tridir gunamaya bhadir yedis sarvamidam jagat. Everything in this world is in three modes, my dear Arjun, Krishna says. Mohitam nabi janati, mamedya paramam vayam. The foolish people think that I am also under the modes. They don't understand that param avayam, I have an imperishable body, which is constituted as internal energy. Lord comes by Atma Maya, which is on Satchidananda Vigraha. He is never touched by the three modes of material nature. Please tell me, Krishna, is he Kshatriya or Vaishya? Who can say? Who knows the answer? You see, he was born in Vasudev family, so he's a Kshatriya. And then he lived in Vaishya family of Nanda Maharaj. So, is he a Vaishya or a Kshatriya? Somebody from behind? Who knows the answer? Yeah? Manikanda? Is that what Rimo so? Yeah, he's neither Vaishya nor Kshatriya. Lord doesn't belong to any of these categories in Varnashrama. He is beyond all that. He cannot be categorized. He is transcendental. He is called as transcendental. Divya. Janma karma chane? Divya. He doesn't say, I am a Brahmana. Or I am a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. Although he may be apparently taking birth in such families. So Yushupanishad gives a warning that one should not consider the Lord's body to be ordinary like ours. We are forced to be born into this world. Although we may not want to be born again and again. We are forced to be born. And no, nobody knows in which family am I going to be born in the next lifetime. Like in this particular lifetime, we all are born in a particular family. We don't even know where we were before, how we came into this family. Particular father, particular mother, particular circumstantial things. We are born in that. Forced. It is so forced that we don't even know what is our background. Where are we coming from? Which place we lived before? We don't know any of those things. So we are born like that into this world. Whereas when Krishna appears, he appears out of his own sweet love. He is not born with three modes. So in Yushupanishad is said, Saparyaga chakramakayama pranam asna viram siddham apapaduddham. Many wonderful characteristics of Krishna's body are explained in this verse. Saparyaga chakram, it says, the Lord's body, it has no veins. Asna viram. There are no veins like we have veins in our body. There is no blood. There is no flesh and bone. As it is there in our body. Because when an ordinary human being dies, all that remains is only the skull. Everything else is burnt to ashes. Whereas Krishna says that his body is completely divyam, asnagam, shuddham, is completely pure. Prabhupada says about this purity. He says just like the sun, when it absorbs the urine, the sun never becomes contaminated. Sun can never be contaminated by that. Similarly, Krishna is so great that millions of souls from the world take his shelter and they become liberated. Then how can Krishna be born? The person who is capable of liberating others, how can he be born? Does it make sense? He is never born. He is capable of liberating others. As the sun can absorb urine. He is shuddham. Apapa viddham. Apapa viddham means one who can never be touched by any kind of sin. And when he performs activity. Any activity that he performs is supremely pure and absolute. Pavitram, as Arjuna is also addressing him. Param dhamma param dhamma pavitram paramam bhavan purusham shashatam nityam adito vamajam dhidham. So that is saying param brahma param dhamma pavitram. You are supreme with your paramam bhavan. Actually this is very important for us to consider in our mind. Krishna's supremacy as well as his purity. I have heard the Christians to when they pray, this is one of the qualities that they always glorify about the Lord. Paramangal tilakam paramatidadu parasuttamana varedevasa. Oh Lord, who is in the supreme spiritual world? Paramandala means spiritual world. Oh my dear Father, who is in the spiritual world? Who is supremely pure? Who cannot be touched by any sin? And the same person, and you are capable of vanquishing all the sins that is possessed by the living entity. Please kindly protect me. So this is a good prayer. Requesting the Lord, you have to understand that we are contaminated, just like the gold that is fallen in a ditch or a garbage dump. Has to be taken out and has to be washed with soap or something and can be reinserted to its full shine and glory. Then the ring may shine in its original beauty. But such a ring cannot be compared to the gold mine. Gold mine has its original gold, huge quantity of gold, but this gold ring is only a small tiny part of it. So God is supremely pure. The soul also is pure originally. And God is supremely pure. Such a pure Lord, even when he comes to the material world, he can never become covered over by the modes or touched by modes. In fact, Lord Krishna says, although I explained to you, my dear Arjuna, till now, I spoke to you till now so many things which are under the modes. But understand, although I told you that these things are emanating from me, I am not under them. They are actually under me. That explains that. ఏకైవ సాత్విక భావ రాజస తామ సాక్షి సాత్విక రాజస తామస ఆల్ దిస్ ఇస్ టెల్డ్ మత్త ఏదేతి కాన్విద్ది ది ఆల్ ఆర్ ఎమినేటింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ మీ ఓన్లీ నత్తహం తేషితేమై బట్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ అండర్ దమ్ బికాస్ దే ఆర్ అండర్ మీ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ లైక్ ద కింగ్ హూ హాస్ ఎనాక్టెడ్ సమ్ లాస్ హీ ఇస్ నాట్ అండర్ ద లాస్ ద లాస్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ హిస్ సబార్డినేట్స్ జస్ట్ లైక్ ఫర్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ ద ప్రైమ్ మినిస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇండియా when he comes to Pune, he doesn't have to follow all the traffic rules. Even when the red light is on, he can cross. He has full freedom to go. You all observe it? Not only PM of India, even the Chief Minister of Maharashtra, and even some MPs. MPs have been given freedom, but they are so busy doing so many activities that they are given full freedom. Even when the red signal is on, they don't have to stop their cars. They can just go ahead. So you cannot challenge them. How can you break the traffic rules? How do you like to break? You can't say that. Because their position is like that. Similarly, Krishna also. Or like in a company, when the owner of a company occasionally pays visit to the company, he can park his car anywhere in the company he wants. Nobody can ask him why. Like, you know, there is an area marked for the works manager, the area marked for the CEO. For everyone, there is a particular area marked for parking that particular car, and they can park it anywhere they want. But when the owner of the company comes, he can park the car anywhere he wants. He will just come. In fact, he can even stop the car somewhere and keep talking to someone, and there can be, you know, 500 waiters behind him. But they can't even put a honk, asking him to move. Because he's the owner. He's the hero of the company. He has the right to do that. Nobody can challenge him why. In the same way, if it is true for ordinary materialistic men of this world, how much more should it be true for Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How much more freedom he should be having? So, Lord Krishna is above the law. He is not below the law. All the laws enacted by him are applicable only to the living entity. So Krishna can steal butter from somebody's house, or he can dance with gopis, or Krishna can run away from the battlefield. He can do all these activities which apparently make a person feel that Lord is immoral. Sometimes people ask this question, why is that is actually the propounder of all religious principles? Then he should himself be moral. How can he act immorally? If we find any trace of immorality in the behavior of the Supreme Lord, that is only due to the cataract in our eyes. It is not the defect of the Lord. Just like the sun is shining in its full glory, but you may hide yourself in a cave and plug the cave with a big stone and say that there is no sun. Similarly, one cannot see Krishna's glory without having a proper understanding about him. That is why many people have misconceptions about Krishna. People ask, why does Krishna kill demons? And always say the demigods. That means he is partial. Krishna explains, I am not partial at all. Samoham sarva bhuteshu, nane deshasti, na priya. There is no one dear to me, nor is there anyone who is enemy, who is my enemy. Even Kunti says the same thing. She is saying, what is that? No, another verse. This time, na veda kaschit bhagavam shikirshitam, తవేహమానస్య నృణాం విడంబనం నశ్చిద్దయుతోస్తి తర్హి చిత్ ద్వేషస్తయస్మిన్ విషమామతర్నృణాం ద్వేషస్ నోబడి హూజ్ యువర్ ద్వేషి అండ్ దర్ ఇస్ నో వన్ హూజ్ యువర్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఫేవర్ ఆల్ ఆర్ ఈక్వల్ టు యూ జస్ట్ లైక్ ద సన్ లైట్ ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు ఎవ్రీ వన్ సన్ ఇస్ ఈక్వల్ టు ఎవ్రీ వన్ సన్ లైట్ ఇస్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ఎవ్రీ వేర్ ఈవెన్ అ స్టోన్ విచ్ ఇస్ జ్యువెల్ A diamond can derive benefit from the sunlight and start shining beautifully. Whereas a man who is blind or a man who is putting himself inside a cave, locking himself inside, he can never see the sun. Nor can he derive any benefit from the sun. Similarly, among the demigods and demons, if you see, demigods are submissive to Krishna, and because they are loving Krishna and surrendering to him, Krishna is just reciprocating with them, according to that. And demons, because they are always opposed to Krishna's laws, they actually don't believe in the supreme authority. And even if they come to know that there is supreme authority, they will rebel against it. This is demon. This is the nature of a demon. So because of that, they don't derive any tangible benefit from being with the Lord. That's the nature of a demon. Just like a mother, she has two children. One child is obedient and takes advantage of the mother by behaving herself properly and taking good guidance from her. Another child is an idiot. He is always very mischievous. So mother embraces one child and slaps the other child. But that doesn't make mother short of any quality. She is actually equally concerned about both the children. Krishna also, when he kills demons, he is actually distributing mercy. All when he is garlanding his devotee or embracing his devotee. This I am saying the same thing. In either case, he is giving mercy according to whatever is suitable. And just like a doctor. Sometimes a doctor may give a nice sweet tablet to a patient. Here they are having a very simple, like you know, once I had a very simple disease and doctor gave some chewing tablet. It was very tasty. I wanted to have it again and again. Sometimes doctors give you know that? They give some chewing tablet and it's very enjoyable. You don't feel any bitterness. But to another person, doctor may say, I have to conduct a surgery. I have to cut your bile. So depending on what kind of disease you have, accordingly one has to get the dose from the doctor. Similarly, Krishna also treats the living and disease according to what is beneficial for them. So it is not large immorality. Or like people say that Krishna was immoral in Kurukshetra battlefield. He acted so immorally against the Kauravas. He destroyed the Kauravas. Like, you can take one example, like Karna. People say, Karna was actually lifting the wheel. Why did Krishna ask Arjuna to kill Karna at that time? So when Karna found himself in a turmoil, he could not fight any longer, he found his wheel was down. He got it from the chariot. At the same time, he found that Krishna and Arjuna are talking to one another. He found that. At once, Karna became very sensitive. That they might do anything. So he told Arjuna, oh Arjuna, please kindly wait till I extract the wheel outside from the ground. Do not cherish thoughts that are entertained only by the cowards. He said, what is your thought? Trying to kill a person when he is nirayuda. Do not entertain thoughts that are cherished only by the cowards. I will again stand up and battle with you. Again, please remember virtue and the code of warfare. And act accordingly. And he said, I will very soon come back to you and I will fight with you. And Krishna saw this and he smiled at Karna. He said, it is greatly fortunate, indeed, Karna, that he is speaking words of virtue today. He told him that people who are foolish, they often blame the providence, forgetting their own evil deeds which they performed in the past. Then, some adversity affects them in their life. Is it not true in our lives also? When there are problems that come in our lives, we immediately blame the providence. Saying that, you know, God is so cruel to me in this and that. But we forget our own evil deeds which we performed in the past. So Krishna said the same thing about Karna also. He told Karna, Karna, you are speaking words of virtue today, but where was this virtue gone? When Draupadi was dragged to the assembly, weeping, in front of all those vicious men like Duryodhana, where did the virtue go at that time? Why did you speak? And where did your virtue go when Yudhishthira was robbed of his kingdom and sent away? And when Yudhishthira spent these 13 years in exile and returned back, did your virtue recommend Duryodhan that the kingdom should be given back to the righteous king Yudhishthira? And was it virtuous on your part to tell Draupadi that now all your husbands are fallen and they have become devoid of prosperity? Now better you leave their hands and accept the hand of another king, Duryodhana. Better you surrender to Duryodhana. He gave this accommodation to Draupadi. Was it virtuous? Was it virtue that impelled you to speak that Dushasan, now you strip this lady naked? Such a lady like Draupadi, you told her to be stripped naked. You ordered Dushasan to do that. Was it virtuous? And along with you, six other brave men attacked this Abhimanyu, such a small boy Abhimanyu. Did virtue enter your mind at that time? So when Abhimanyu was attacked, Abhimanyu was equally powerful like Arjuna. Seeing that Dronacharya, he was glorifying Abhimanyu when Abhimanyu was fighting. He said, just see the son of Partha, how he fights. He said, I feel like just seeing his fighting. And all the Kaurava warriors became so disturbed. They started telling him, oh Acharya, please tell us some way by which you can kill him. He said, forget it, you cannot kill him. It is impossible. The righteous means you cannot kill him. But there is only one way. If seven of us assemble together, he said, one of us should knock down his chariot, his horses, and the charioteer. Another person should knock down his bow and arrow. Like that he said about seven people should do seven different things. Three people should come in three strategic points. And then he said, finally one person can send arrow on his chest and we can kill him. So seven of them came together like that to kill this one small boy, Abhimanyu. So now the virtue entered your mind at that time. Was it the virtue that conspired you to set fire to the Lakshagriha at Varanavat? Because Karna was also part of that diplomacy. So this is Krishna Mintan challenging one after the other, remind him of all the things that Karna did along with the Kauravas. And then at last Krishna asked him, if it was virtue that acted in you in all these occasions, now we are wasting our time, summon that same virtue here again. Today you want to practice piety, but I can tell you, my dear Karna, that you cannot escape your life today. Krishna said that. You are desiring to practice piety today, but you cannot escape your life. The most virtuous Pandavas, they will kill you and all other Kauravas, and they will regain their kingdom by defeating all of you. Saying this, Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, don't delay any further. Tell him. So in this way, if you read Mahabharata, you'll understand, actually, what Krishna said is all true. Because the same Karna who is speaking virtue here, he acted without virtue several times in the past. So Krishna says, I am the best cheater amongst all cheaters. If you want to cheat the devotees, then I will cheat you, Krishna says. You cannot continue to go on cheating the devotees, and you devotees will say that you are virtuous, they will not do anything to you. Shato Shatyam, as Chanakya said. Shato Shatyam means tit for tat. You are cheating, then we will cheat you. So Krishna, this is why Krishna actually arranged the battlefield. See, God, sometimes people say they like Lord Rama more than Lord Krishna. Lord Rama behaves in a very righteous way. See, Krishna is also Supreme Lord. Krishna, like Lord Rama and Krishna, they both are Supreme Lords. So Krishna would have enacted the Mahabharata war in such a nice way that there is no kind of immorality that goes into the war. Is it not possible for him? Should have made it possible that when Karna, after he lifts the wheel and comes out and stands in the chariot, then Krishna would have told Arjuna to attack him. He would have done that if he wanted. But he purposefully did these things to show this. How you protect the world. You may not be able to fit it within the small frame of morality, what do you call that, the narrow-minded morality that we have. Within that we cannot fit in the Supreme Lord Krishna. That is because of our narrow-mindedness. It is not because of the large immorality. Large morality is like sunlight, and our morality is like a small candle. It has no place. Maybe the candle is helpful now. When the sunlight comes in the morning, you will not need it anymore. Similarly, the principles of morality that we see and we argue against the Lord, they may be like good candle, but then Lord shines in the sky, then all these moral principles are insignificant before him. So, Lord is 100% justified in any activity that he performs. He wanted to teach a good lesson to Duryodhana, Karna, Bhishma, Dronacharya and all of them. Actually, Duryodhana was thinking that I have such maharathis with me, like Bhishma, Pitamaha and Dronacharya and others. These Pandavas, although they have some maharathis, they are insignificant figs compared to the maharathis whom I have. Somehow or other, these people are supporting Kuru dynasty and I will win over. And Adharma will win. That's what Duryodhana was thinking. The Lord showed him, you may have anybody with you, even up to the order of Bhishma Pitamaha. But when I hold the doctorate of Dharma, then even the biggest of the big maharathis will be finished. That's why later on there is a discussion, Parikshita is telling, that all the great maharathis in the Kurukshetra war were like big, big puningalas in the ocean of the Kurukshetra Yuddha. Like in the ocean there are big puningalas. You all know puningala? Puningala means a whale. Sometimes a puningala is 300 feet long. And his body is so huge that it is like an island. Many times people have mistaken the body of a whale to be an island. They will stay for some time and then the fourth or fifth day they start moving. Then you will realize that it is actually a body of an animal. So huge. So, Paisit said that such great Tinungalas were there. Who are all the Tinungalas in Kurukshetra war? Bhishma and Drona, people like that. Bhishma and Drona. They were all the Tinungalas. And Lord Krishna helped the Pandavas to cross over this ocean of Kurukshetra very easily by his personal help. So Lord is actually religion personified. He can never go wrong. And even if he apparently appears wrong, that is for teaching a good lesson to the living day. That is them. Similarly, people say Krishna danced with the gopis, Krishna danced with other men's wives. Actually, many people have heard these things here and there, or they have seen in the movies, and they have some understanding about this. And always the virtuous people are in great turmoil when they meet such people. People immediately ask the question, and you go and tell them, please come to Hare Krishna classes, they say, your Krishna danced with gopis. So, this is what your Lord Krishna did. But if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, when Krishna danced with the gopis, he was only 8 years old. Not only that, there is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam which explains that all the gopis, their bodies were lying with their husbands. The night they were sleeping. The husbands were seeing their bodies of the wives, but the spirit souls and their bodies had left the bodies, and they were dancing with Krishna, they said. So one can understand that this rasa dance is actually spiritual. a pure spiritual. Krishna is pure spirit and is dancing with the gopis who are all in their pure spiritual bodies. And also they are actually the topmost devotees of Krishna. As you advance in spiritual life, you will learn to see gopis as devotees and not see gopis as women. In our conscience stage, we always see gopis as young girls with whom Krishna enjoys. There are a lot of discussion in Krishna book, you should read it and understand very nicely about this particular pastime, which is often misunderstood by common people. Our people say Krishna ran away from the battlefield with Jarasandha. Some people argue like that. But Lord Krishna fought with Jarasandha how many times, do you know? 17 times, and in every one of those times, he defeated him. Utterly defeated him. And he killed all the demons who accompanied Jarasandha. And Jarasandha would flee from there. And then he wanted to commit suicide, but his friends would tell him, don't worry. Actually, the very fact that you could fight with him so long goes to show your prowess. So now don't worry, next time he'll attack again. So he patiently tolerated the insult, and 17 times he fought. The 18th time, when he came to fight with Krishna, Krishna was not interested for two reasons, proper explains. One is, he felt that so many soldiers in Mathura, they will be killed. At the same time, Kalayavana was also preparing his battle also. So Krishna did not want to see that all these people are killed. And also he had another important business to do, proper life. Do you know what was that? Yeah, he had to attend to Rukmini. The letter from Rukmini had come, and Krishna was thinking, oh, it's high time. So Krishna very coolly left the battlefield and started going away from there. Jarasandha started chasing, but Krishna went away from there. Jarasandha was searching him everywhere. So Prabhupada says, this is one of the supreme opulences of Krishna. How he is renounced. One of the six opulences of Krishna is that he is the supreme renouncer. The Kshatriya in a battlefield will never go away, because he knows it is better to die in the battlefield than to go away from the battle. No Kshatriya will do that. But Krishna is so renounced that he is ready, even if some people would mistake him. He says, okay, that the mistake, I don't mind. I have another important business. So he went away to attend to his devotee. Like that's what called a supreme renouncer. In Gujarat, they glorify Krishna as Ranchorji. One who left the battlefield and went away. So he called as Ranchor. This is the beauty of Krishna's activity and our activity. When Krishna leaves the battlefield, then he is called as Ranchor and he is worshipped and glorified by all devotees. Even after 5,000 years, he is called as Ranchorji. When Satya leaves the battlefield, nobody will call him like that. His name will be recorded in bad records throughout the entire history. Somebody ran away from the battlefield. Similarly, when Krishna stays butter, it's not that somebody was asking a question. How can Krishna act immorally to stealing butter from other people's houses? If he wants butter, he should ask from Yashoda only. very surprising to hear such people. And why can't you understand the Lord's loving pastimes? Is it a very serious question? The Lord stealing butter from other houses? In fact, Nanda and Yashoda, they are actually the king and queen of the entire brother. They have nine lakh cows they have. And Mother Yashoda knows how to give the best milk for her baby Krishna. She is providing the best things to Krishna. Why should Krishna go and steal in other houses? Simply for making fun. He went to other gopis' houses and stealing butter, and they are coming and complaining to Yashoda. And there is a very loving pastime between the other elderly gopis complaining to Yashoda. There are songs, very beautiful songs. I heard the songs even from my childhood. My other gopis coming and complaining to Yashoda. Very interesting to hear what all activities your son is doing. How your son is coming and trying to get the butter pot. And he used to keep the butter pot down. And he used to break it and eat it all away and go away. And later on, we understood that Krishna is doing this. Then he started keeping it in the rafters, hanging from the top. So your darling, he jumped up and up and he could not get it. Then he formed a pyramid with all his friends. And he climbed on the top and he broke the pot again. And he ate the butter and he gave it all to his friends. And just as the butter, he distributed to the monkeys. And then the monkeys got fed up of eating too much butter. And they started throwing it away. Then Krishna said, what kind of butter is it? Useless. So in this way, not only he ate butter from our house, he was also cursing us. Like that. And they said, then we understood that Krishna is watching all these things hanging from the rafter. Let us put off all the lights so that the room will be pitch dark. So made the house completely dark. But then when Krishna enters inside, the entire room becomes lit up, shining. And then Yashoda said, don't worry, I will remove all the beautiful ornaments that he is wearing in his body. So that, and the room will not become lit up. They said, no, it is of no use, don't do that. Even if you remove all the ornaments from his body, still his body itself is shining due to the effulgence. Due to the effulgence of the body. So in this way, the gopis would have lot of spiritual gossip. Transcendental gossip with Yashoda. And these gossips are so pleasing to the heart of devotees. You go to Vrindavan, there are Babajis who are sitting in trance, meditating on this particular gossip of the gopis, chanting Hare Krishna for hundreds of years, and they leave their body remembering this in trance. This is one pastime of Yashoda, hearing the complaint of the gopis. So these are actually transcendental pastimes. When Krishna steals butter and thief is being pickpocketing, both are not same. Thief is being pickpocketing, it's considered abominable. He'll be at once put in a jail or given a whip by the belt of the policeman. When Krishna steals, it is transcendental, it is divine. So Krishna also teaches the gopis. When Krishna, along with his covered boyfriends, when the gopis take their part of yogurt and the head, you go to Vrindavan, even today the place is that. There are two mountains, one black mountain and a white mountain. So the white mountain is compared to Radharani and the black mountain is compared to Krishna. So in between the two mountains there is a very narrow valley, pathway. So these gopis have to go every day. So Krishna and his covered boys will be standing there, all of them, in a group, to please these gopis. The gopis would go with all their butterflies and Krishna and his covered boys would hide behind the trees and they would, you know, take the catapult and they would hit it. And the butterflies would, you know, the yogurt pots would break and it would start pouring out. The gopis would give curses and Krishna and his boys would enjoy very much. The curses are so pleasing to his ears, even more than the Vedic mantras. And the gopis would see this and they would search, who is this doing? And they would not be able to find out who was the person. And the gopis would hide and see. And then when all Krishna and Gopis would come out, then they would know, oh, these are the people. So another day the gopis came and they caught hold of all the shikas of all the gopas and they tied it to the trees. They were lying and they could not even get us in that place. The gopis told them, now you have to pay tax. You pay taxes, only then we'll let you go. So these are all loving pastimes between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan. So if utilizing is done by ordinary men of this world, you know what punishment they give in Arab countries for utilizing? Stoning. If utilizing is done, they put them in the middle of the street and they will be spitted at by people, they will be ripped apart by belts, and they get a very severe punishment for that. Because what is the difference between Lord doing these things and we doing these things? Everything comes from Krishna only. The gopis have come from Krishna, the gopas have come from Krishna, entire Vrindavan has come from Balaram. Everything comes from the Lord only. And all are his devotees. It's like a father playing with his own children. Krishna is Supreme Father, as we were discussing before. Aham Bija Padayasita. The father may put up different roles, isn't it? Like sometimes, you know, like when I was a small child, I used to do like a lion to my father, whatever I will do. And he will say, as if he is frightened, whatever he will do, and I would give a big laugh, you know. So you have a great enjoyment in that. So every time I would do, I am like a lion. My father would become frightened, and that would give me a lot of enjoyment. Similarly, Krishna is a Supreme Father, and he takes different roles, and acts with so many beautiful emotions, that pleases the heart of his devotees. You understand? Like Yashoda is chasing with a stick, and Krishna becomes frightened. Krishna is the Supreme Father, how can he become frightened? But Krishna is becoming frightened and running away, is pleasing to the heart of Yashoda. So Krishna wants to please his devotees. How Krishna is dancing when the gopis are clapping hands, the elderly gopis are clapping hands, and Krishna is dancing beautifully, or is dancing on Kaliya. All these things he is doing for the pleasure of his devotees. So when we advance in spiritual life, we can understand how Lord is such a sensitive person. He is so sensitive to the feelings of his devotees. He very carefully observes the feelings in the heart of his devotees and exactly satisfies that desire in the heart of his devotees. The gopis desire that Krishna become our husband, and Krishna became their husband. And Krishna performed as a dance with them. So Nanda Maharaj wanted to serve Krishna as a father, and Krishna took the apt role of being his child, or being the child of Yashoda also. So Lord is very keen to satisfy his devotees, and devotees are very keen to satisfy the Lord. So the gopis, when they were done everything, and they never became frightened. The gopis really relished it. In fact, every day when they would come with a yogurt pot, they would see, where is Krishna and his boys? Nobody is seen here. They'd be searching for them. So they enjoyed it. So one boy was telling me, that means that if it is mutual, it is agreeable? Yes. Like a girl likes to be teased by me, and I tease her, and she also enjoys it. So is it all right? What do you all think? So gopis enjoy Krishna teasing them. So that means Krishna teasing them is justified. So what about the boy teasing a girl if the girl likes it? See, girl and boy, both are Prakriti. The soul in their bodies, they both are Prakriti. And who is Purusha? Krishna. Krishna is the only Purusha. So if you want to enjoy teaching, you can enjoy only from a Purusha. Not from the so-called Purusha of this world. You understand the point? Like if a girl and girl are sitting, no matter how much they try to enjoy, they cannot enjoy. The girl and girl. Because Of course, friendship is a different thing, but I'm talking about enjoying like a man and woman enjoy. It's a different kind of relationship. But in a man and man or a woman and woman, they both are of the same nature, so they cannot enjoy. Similarly, a girl and a boy in this world, both are prakriti, correct? So they cannot enjoy in this world. Yeah, the irritation, so-called irritation, which is temporarily satisfying, the technical name for that is sense gratification. Huh? It is simply indirectly sense gratification. They are cheating themselves, that's all. But the teaching done by Krishna, Krishna is real Purusha. So when you become shy in front of Krishna, is the perfection of the soul. Because we are real prakriti in front of Krishna. So our shyness and our enjoyment and our pleasure and our feelings of serving, all those things should come in front of Krishna only. So Krishna's invitation is very special, and Krishna does it. You all understand this point? If you have any question right now, you ask this. It's a very important point. If you are well grounded in this philosophical point, you can really develop attraction for Krishna more and more. If you don't understand this point, then you will go on developing some kind of rebellious attitude in the heart. That why Krishna can do and I cannot do? This question will keep on lurking in your mind. If you understand it nicely, you will really appreciate this point. Krishna is Purusha, Supreme Enjoyer. And all of us are prakriti. Our happiness and enjoyment can come only by telling him. See, the devotees are very keen to know what is there in the mind of the Lord. What does Krishna want? They are very, very keen to know that. And they are satisfying him. And Krishna is thinking, what is going on in my devotee's mind? What does he want? Then he tries to satisfy. So this is the transcendental competition going on in the spiritual world. So Krishna's activity is, although apparently it may appear to be in the three modes, they are not in three modes. They are completely pure. They are completely devious. They are transcendental. So, in the material world we find similar things what is going on in the spiritual world are also going on here, but in a perverted way. That's why it's called perverted reflection. There Krishna is Purusha and all of Prakriti, but here the Prakriti are taking the role of Purusha. The boy can become a Purusha or even a girl can become Purusha. What is the meaning of calling us Purusha? Enjoying mentality. So, as soon as we have enjoying mentality, we become Purusha. Exploitative mentality. Purusha Prakriti Stavi, Bhunte, Bhunte, he says, Bhunte Prakriti Jan Guna. Prakriti Jan Guna. That is the meaning of Prakriti Jan. Jan means to be born. Prakriti Jan means those that are born from this material world, Jan Guna, the three gunas. Bhunte. Living entities are trying to enjoy the three modes born of this material nature by taking the artificial Purusha's role. Karanam Guna Sangosya. What is the karanam? Guna sangosya, guna sangha. If you connect yourself with the three modes, you will go on taking birth again and again, trying to, you know, enjoy this useless chewing gum, which has been chewed several times. But the chewing gum, in the beginning it is very nice, the nice flavor is coming, some sweet taste is there. But after chewing it for half an hour or so, then it becomes like rubber. There is no taste in it. No taste in it. So one time, what happened? In the beginning it was so nice. It was so nice in the beginning, now it has no taste. Similarly, all the pleasures of this world offered with the three modes, they become tasteless. The same thing which appeared to be so attractive, so glamorous for you in the beginning, that becomes detestable, abominable for you for a period of time. Very nice in the middle world. But with Krishna, the beginning of attraction, and the more you go towards Krishna, your attraction increases unlimitedly, infinitely. So even in the presence of Krishna or absence of Krishna, you are constantly thinking of him, and you are always doing it. This is spiritual relationship. So this Prakriti Jan Guna, we have to give that up. The three modes of material nature, whatever they are offering us. So, we have to understand properly relationship of Krishna with material energy. That is the relationship. It is very important to understand. There is a simultaneous connectedness and non-connectedness between Krishna and the material energy. How is it? It is explained. For example, although Krishna has created this whole wonderful material world, it does not offer any big burden on him. Like sometimes in the Greek mythology, they have this picture of Atlas lifting the world, you know. He is holding the sky or holding the earth. They show like that. And his muscles are just protruding out and they are about to break, you know. And he is just straining and stretching his face and muscles. He is not able to hold it properly. But when Krishna creates this world, it is not that he has to hold this world like that. He says, this is just a small spark of my splendor. What is it? Tosha. Eka Anshana Sita Jagat, basically. Eka Anshana Sita Jagat. Eka Anshana. Eka Anshana is a small spark of my energy. Sita Jagat. The whole world is being taken care by that. I don't have to put in any energy. Not only that, in fact, Krishna doesn't create at all. He has agents to create this material world. Simply by the glance of Vishnu, all the living entities are impregnated into this material world. And Ramaji is further creating by the knowledge offered by God. So Krishna doesn't have to do anything. Example is given by Krishna Chakravarti Thakur. He is telling, just like Ambarish Maharaj, he is sitting in his throne. And he has so many ministers. So his ministers are all compared to the Prakriti of Krishna. Krishna is like the king Ambarisha, and all his ministers are like Prakriti. So the ministers are doing all the activities. The ministers are doing all the activities. King is not doing anything. And in all the king sitting in the throne, is inspiring the ministers to do their work. You understand this point? King is not doing, ministers are doing.